Thank you, Stephen, for your kind invitation to be with you today for this celebration of 20 years as rector of Epiphany, Surrey. I told him behind in his office that in my experience, the first 20 are the hardest years. And so it's all downhill from here for him in a good way. I retired a couple years ago. I'm now known really as a has-dean, but it's great to be back in church, and isn't it wonderful to be together again, even if we have to have our masks on for a little bit of time. Here's what I want to do with you this morning and the few moments that are afforded me. First is to say a few things about Stephen, then to pivot, as we say in pandemic times, to today's observance of Holy Cross Day, and finally to invite us into a renewal of our hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How does that sound? And feel free, dear friends, to say amen if what I say resonates. We don't have to be all Anglican today. Or to applaud. But to applaud maybe especially for Stephen. Stephen, you are much loved here. Congratulations on your anniversary. There we are. So I'll say a couple things in a moment about my friendship with Stephen, but I want to share some greetings. You've already heard from Bishop John. I also asked him for a sentence. And you've heard the sentence before, but it's always good when a bishop says good things about a priest. So John writes, "I am grateful for Stephen's ministry over the past 20 years. He brings a wonderful combination to his ministry, pastoral care, humor, attention to detail, hard work, and a deep faith. He is appreciated for his ministry at Epiphany, but also throughout the diocese for many years." That's from John Stevens, our bishop. About Stephen, Archbishop Melissa Skelton wrote these words: "Stephen Rowe, first and foremost, is himself. Thoughtful, caring, honest, lovably ironic, and dedicated to his family and friends. He is also, for me," Melissa writes, "a model of what a faithful rector looks like. He has shown us all what it looks like to love the people of the parish. He has shown us all what fidelity and perseverance look like. He has shown us all what responsiveness to change looks like, especially when that change comes from speaking a different language and bringing a different culture." And Bishop Michael Ingham, who appointed Stephen to ministry in this diocese, sends his greetings today. Remembering this about Stephen, he writes, "I admire many of Stephen's qualities and talents, but perhaps the one I have most enjoyed is his sense of humor. Stephen always..." Stephen always, Michael writes, manages to cheer people up, even when you were kids, most of the time. Stephen always manages to cheer people up and make them smile. "I remember one time at Diocesan Synod," Michael continues, "he dressed up as a hockey referee, complete with a striped shirt and whistle, and blew fouls and goals, even sending people to the penalty box. It lightened some pretty serious moments. Stephen and Christine could always be relied upon to write a poem or a song for some amusing occasion. Amazing talent." That's from Michael. So clearly, the three bishops in this diocese with whom he has worked admire and respect your rector, Stephen Rowe. And then Stephen and my mutual friend and Cliff Caprani, who's filming this today, his friend also, Randy Murray, offered this story. Uh-oh, yeah, I heard somebody say, oh. It wasn't. Randy writes, while filming the first ever piece produced by the Diocesan Communications team, Randy Murray, Cliff Caprani, and Wayne Chose, a number of things happened. As we were doing it by the seat of our pants, we didn't use a teleprompter, so Stephen, as the presenter, had to read from a script on a clipboard or a flip chart. All Stephen's segments were on location. For the first 2 days of shooting, he had a very bad cold and struggled to hide his congestion. What he couldn't hide was his inability to pronounce one of the key words in the documentary. Invariably, he would flub the word, and coupled with his bad nasal congestion, we all just laughed. It was funny. On the second day, in a different location, he was feeling a bit better. Aware that the troublesome word was coming up in the script, we were all pretty sure there wouldn't be any problems. The cameras were rolling. Randy holding, you know, one of those big, large, silver reflective discs, but out of the shot, to make sure that light would be on Stephen. Everyone felt the tension as the word came up in the script and was about to be read. Stephen began the sentence with confidence and completely mispronounced the word again. And Randy, holding this big silver thing, jerked backwards and fell backwards into a gravel pit with the disc on top of it. Cliff and Wayne were crying with laughter, but Stephen remained stoic and pulled himself together for the next two takes. That's the kind of guy he is, Randy says. To summarize, Stephen is undaunted by difficulty, able to deal with difficult circumstances, thoughtful, caring, honest, lovably ironic, with a great sense of humor, a pastor who attends to detail, works hard, and has a deep faith. Does that sound like the person you've come to love and respect over these many years at Epiphany? Stephen Rowe. So Stephen and I have known each other from his earliest days in the diocese. Through his years as an archdeacon, as he said, he and I attended more meetings together than I could ever count. We shared many laughs and often exasperation with church politics. I came over the years and have come since even to rely on his counsel and good advice, and I cherish him as a friend. And now here comes the pivot to Holy Cross Day. My first real conversation with Stephen was a difficult one. He had come with Christine and his family to the Diocese of New Westminster from England for a particular ministry, and it wasn't working out very well. He and Christine came to my office. I was filling in for the bishop who was away, and they spoke to me about how difficult things were. What impressed me about Stephen that day and ever since was his unwillingness to speak anything but the truth. He sized up the situation, saw that he really couldn't make a positive contribution there, and was willing to sacrifice his pride and risk losing his job for the sake of integrity. And although I encouraged him to persist, he had, of course, read the situation accurately, and he did leave. And those circumstances brought him, kind of by default, here to Epiphany, Surrey, where he was expected to fill in for a brief period of time. 20 years later, here you are. And here's my point. Life is filled with heartbreaks and disappointments, isn't it? Even our best laid plans don't work out as we'd hoped. But God is in the business of resurrection, of new hope and new life. And this, of course, brings us to the cross. Holy Cross Day, which we're marking today here, commemorates an event 300 years or so ago, after 300 years after Jesus' time on earth, many hundreds of years ago. It's 300 years after Jesus' time on earth, and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was dedicated in Jerusalem, a church built on what's believed to be the historic site of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. There to this day, pilgrims come to kneel at the foot of the cross, I've been there, and stand for a moment near the tomb where Jesus burst forth with new life after his death. Now, the important thing here is that crucifixion and resurrection are not just remembrances from our history. They are realities that each of us experience as we move through life. The crucifixion of Jesus really teaches us about three things. First is it brings to mind the suffering of so many in the world because of the violence of oppressive regimes, whether in Iraq or in Afghanistan or the many, many other places where innocent people suffer at the hands of corrupt leaders. In the face of the crucified Jesus, we see the faces of the suffering all around the world. Second, Jesus' crucifixion takes us to the mystery of the incarnation, that God, we believe, took on human flesh and shared with us through Jesus' life not only all the joys that come to life, being with friends and family and eating and drinking at parties and so forth, but also the deep pains and the sorrows that accompany us all. And third, in the crucifixion, the true and living God shares with us the inevitability of our death. When our time comes, we know that the one who has loved us from all eternity has himself experienced the pain of death. And so even in death, we are not alone. The cross takes us to these places of suffering, disappointment, and death, but it also takes us to the place that is the source of our hope, and that is resurrection. Stephen read to us from John's Gospel, the Gospel appointed for today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. Let me just give you that in a bit different language. God loved the world in this way, John is saying. God showed God's love for the world by becoming part of the flow of human life. And everyone who believes into that God became part of the flow of human life will have a deeper appreciation for the gift of life that we have. John calls it eternal life. For God did not come into the world to condemn it, but that the world might be healed. That's what salvation means, healed. That we all might be healed of the various pains and sufferings that afflict us. Healing is the meaning of the cross. And we all know about healing. I'm not talking about cure, I'm talking about healing. Whether for our bodies or for our souls, it's not a quick fix. It takes time. It's the slow work of God. Healing is the slow work of God. For Jesus, the resurrection meant that God would not allow the forces of power and injustice to have the final word. And so God raised up Jesus to show to all that there's always new life, even after the worst has happened. This is the promise offered to us all, that whatever life throws at us, whatever its disappointments in our work, in our relationships, whether it's suffering from an illness, grieving a loss, or even facing our own mortality, there is a power available deeper and stronger than we can imagine us, pulling us into a future inhabited by the love that's at the heart of the universe, the love of God that we know in Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen instantly. It takes a lifetime to grow into this. Disappointment can last a long time. Grief can take forever to get over. And our bodies heal from illnesses only with time. Healing takes time. And it's one of the great gifts of a long incumbency, like Stephen has here at Epiphany, that a priest and a congregation move together through many years, through times of sorrow and times of joy. And this brings a deep sense of the constancy and reliability of the power, grace, and love of God. Now, I've been with you a few times over Stephen's incumbency here, and I know that here at the Epiphany, you've had your joys, you've had your sorrows, and you've been frustrated by the starts and stops of achieving your vision for a new building. But you've stayed together through it all. And I'm confident that with Stephen's continuing leadership for the next 20 years, I'm confident that through it all, God will do infinitely more than you can ask or imagine. I have hope. I have hope because I believe in the resurrection. Because I believe the cross is not the final word, but the hope of new life in Jesus Christ is the final word. So take heart. Celebrate this day as we give thanks for 2 decades of ministry that Stephen has shared with you. I leave you with words from the Jesuit theologian Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. Teilhard writes, "Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient in everything to reach the end without delay. We should like to skip the immediate stages and the intermediate stages. We are impatient of being on the way to something unknown, something new. Give us, O Lord, the benefit of believing that your hand is upon us. May the mighty resurrection hand of God be upon you this day and always." And let God's people say, Amen.